Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, if you would, please. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I've asked our musicians to remain up here because this morning in my introduction, I would like to use a hymn to express some of the truth that is found in this passage of Scripture. May the Lord bless us today. Psalm 19, if you'll look there with me in the Word of the Lord. The Bible says, you know, the past few weeks I have been preaching about how that Job mentioned that creation and the earth and the animals and observation of these things can teach us some things. I want to continue that thought this morning in Psalm 19. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And there is, now listen carefully, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, I'm going to ask you if you would take your hymn book. I'm not asking you to stand, but I am asking you. My hymn book has disappeared. I want you to turn to page number 6. And I want you to sing this song with me this morning. You'll find that many of the authors of our hymns would write things about creation and the Creator, and because they believe that it bore witness to the God of the Bible. Do you believe that? When you read some of these psalms, some of these hymns, like the song that we sing, "This Is My Father's World." Isn't that a great song? And he said, "And to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres." He says, "The birds their carols raise." This morning as I like to go out close to the break of dawn, and I can hear the birds singing. And I just say, "Lord, what a musician you truly are with these birds. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white declare their maker's praise." Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, "Have you considered the lilies?" He said, even Solomon in all of his glory, he said, can't compare to the beauty of a lily that God has made. I want you to look at page number 6. I want you to sing from your heart with me right now all three of these stanzas, okay?
Oh,
God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all may be seated. I remind you again of what David said in Psalm 19. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech. The Bible teaches us that God has not left himself without witness. God, our Creator, the heavens declare him, the earth bears witness of him, and that which be, the Bible says, that which may be known of God is manifest because God hath showed it. He says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Example of this. Friday morning, we met with the construction company who built this building. It is clear to me that this building did not roll down a hill and come into being. It appears to me that somebody was responsible for putting all of this together exactly the way it is, and they appeared. But I didn't have to see them to know that somebody did this. And when you walk out that door, as you look around, if you have any eyesight, if you have any hearing, you will be able to bear witness that there is clearly a maker, a creator. The Bible says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. David said, there is no language, no speech, where their voice is not heard. You know, the Bible teaches us that God has a witness that is upward. That would be the heavens, the celestial, I call it, and the Bible does too. There is the outward, the earthly, and all that is therein, which is also called the terrestrial. But then there is that inward witness that God has put within you, that you will find even as your children begin to grow. And once they lose some of that innocency that they have, you'll find that they have something that God instilled within them called a conscience that bears witness to these things. The scripture says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I love this. John said, I love this with all my heart. He said, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I do want to ask him about mosquitoes. Someone had mentioned that. But even in the wisdom of God, I'll trust him with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. And I'm going to trust that they were better before the flood than after the flood. Paul said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. The scripture says he is before all things. Now we can't comprehend that. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Out of the entire solar system and the galaxies beyond what the naked eye can see, and what the telescopes can see, and what the machines that we send forward can see, scientists are absolutely amazed at how that Earth alone is made in such a way that it will sustain a man's life, as if it was done intentionally, as if it was on purpose. And not only that, have you ever considered the fact that you and I are, truly are, we're dirt bags? We are made from the planet. Did you know that the earth is 70% water? Did you know that you're 60% water? The earth has oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, magnesium, zinc, and on it goes, and so do you. And yet they're amazed at how that earth itself is made in such a way that it's just the right distance from the sun, just the right distance from the moon, spins just the right speed, is tilted just right in order for man to be able to sustain life. If we were just a little bit closer, you'd truly experience global warming. If we were just a little bit further away, you truly would understand an ice age. But God has been good to us. Nature bears witness to the nature of God. That's what I want to preach on this morning. There are so many things to preach on about God that this whole creation bears witness to. So I have to kind of pick my spots. I have to pray and ask the Lord to guide me and help me to kind of know, because I only have so many hours in a week to study, and I don't want to waste one of them. I want to focus on and research and meditate and study on what is that area that you want me to deal with. And oddly enough, the one that I'm going to deal with today may sound a bit strange to you, but it is mentioned over 1,400 times in references in your King James Bible. It is something that impacts us every single day of our lives. And sometimes we just simply walk through it and we live through it and we don't stop to bear witness and think about God's hand involved in it all. When I talk about this morning, I pray the Lord would speak to your heart. Do you believe that the world itself bears witness to the goodness of God? Doesn't the Bible say the earth is filled with the goodness of God? I want to show you something this morning that will help you to find the balance that you and I need concerning the nature of God. Because the Bible talks about two things in particular about God that you need to grab a hold of. You will not like the second one, but the first one you embrace, you sing about, you rejoice about, and you acknowledge. The other one you like to turn a blind eye to and make excuses for and pay no attention to. But you'll find that God is both. The Bible refers to God, it refers to the goodness of God. And the Bible refers to the severity of God. It refers to the grace of God and the love of God, and it refers to the fact that God is a God of wrath. That God is jealous. Not jealous of you, jealous for you. He is a God of vengeance, God of wrath, a God of justice. And nature will bear witness to the goodness of God and the mercy of God. And nature will bear witness to the severity of God. Stop referring to it as Mother Nature and Mother Earth. Refer to it as a witness of a divine creator who cares for you. Now imagine this. I want to speak to you about the witness of weather. The witness of weather. How it reflects the goodness of God and how it reflects the wrath of God. By the time we're through, you'll understand. Can you imagine if Fox News, the meteorologist, got up this evening at the 6 o'clock news and said, "Today we witnessed the goodness of God. The sun shined, the wind barely blew, even though it was about 100 degrees. We were air conditioned. Thank God for that." Can you imagine that the following week, if a hurricane came into the Gulf and began to blow hard and began to shut everything down, that same meteorologist would stand up and say, "Here we see the severity of God. A few days ago, we saw the goodness of God. Today, we see the severity of God. You better get ready for the severity of God." Now, you got to think about this. And I think this is so true. His severity, wrath is revealed from heaven. Romans chapter 1 says his wrath is revealed from heaven. Since the fall, as far as we know, before the fall, probably for about 1500 to 1800 years upon the planet, there was no severe weather. And because of the fall, because of the wrath of God, eventually God sent weather to destroy the earth. Noah was the first meteorologist. And he said, I'm the weatherman, and I'm here to tell you that the grace time is over, and it's time for you to get right with God, and God is going to send judgment. You need to get yourself ready. So he builds a boat, and he preaches for 120 years about the righteousness of God. And only 8 believed his weather report because they had never seen rain like that before, or rain probably at all. Like people today, when we talk about the rapture of the church and us disappearing and being taken up into heaven, they laugh and they mock like they did Moses. Like they did Noah. But when the clouds begin to roll in and the waters begin to fall, they begin to realize that they had mocked God one too many times. There's a lot of questions. You realize that insurance companies, when something bad happens to your house or this place or something in town, you know what the insurance companies put in their policies many times, have for decades? They say they call it an act of God. When severe things happen, they call it acts of God. Acts of God. As if the rain that came in its seasons and the fruitful times that came were not also acts of God. But since the fall, and I need to do my best to convince you of this and to help you with some practical things, because you have a hard time helping people to understand that when bad weather comes and people die, like the tsunami in Asia several years ago when thousands upon thousands of people perished, like the flood that happened in Kerrville, and people were swept away during the night, even precious children. People get angry at God. People blame God. People say things about God as if he's a good God, if he's a benevolent God, why did he allow these things to happen? All kinds of things happen when God makes it very clear that since the flood, since the fall of man, weather has borne witness to both the goodness of God and the severity of God. The goodness of God and the severity of God. And since the fall of man, please embrace this truth. Let it sink down into your heart. Life is not the rule on planet Earth. It is the exception. Death is the rule. And we do everything we can from the time that we are born to try to avoid death. Your parents, when you were a baby, tried to keep you alive. They themselves attempted to stay alive. David said, there is but a step between me and death. When the Lord said in the garden, if you partake of this, he said, thou shalt surely die. And since that time, do you realize when you walk on the crust of this earth, how many bodies and bloodstained places that you're walking on? It is a crust of death. Do you realize that if you live to be 80, as Sister Peggy and some of our men here are, you are extremely blessed. Do you realize that your life is but just a little dash between 2 dates on a tombstone. And you are here but just a short period of time, constantly avoiding death. Because it's at every corner. And so when you think about that, understand that you really are just a grain of sand on the deserts of time. That's all you are. That's all you're here for. You're just a drop of water on the sea of humanity. From one end to the other as far as time is concerned. So you want to make it count. And in the best of places, there are tragedies and disasters that occur. The Bible says even the earth itself groans, awaiting its redemption from the curse. You'll notice it appears that the earth has gotten angrier and more violent. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Because it reminds us, you know what weather reminds you of? It reminds you that life is uncertain and death is sure. It reveals that the best laid plans that you have every single day and week are subject to the weather. You say, man, I live in concrete, electricity. I don't care about the weather. Did you know that you'll come out of that concrete when the power goes off? Do you realize that you won't be making money when that computer doesn't come on? Because weather has shut everything down? That you are at the mercy of the weather. You don't think like that because most of the time it's like the goodness of God. We experienced out of 365 days, most of those days are good. But there are some days that come through the year that are severe, that remind us of the severity of God. You know, the Bible does say, you say, well, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. Listen, there are certain things, principles that God has set in motion. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The farmer that is cursing God's name is getting the same rain as the man that's bowing his knee and asking God to bless his crop. That's part of the goodness of God and the mercy of God. And the flood that comes and sweeps away the wicked man's house is the same God that sweeps away the house of the just man. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. There are certain things that none of us escape. Do you think that God excuses the law of gravity because you as a Christian decided to jump off the roof? There are certain things that happen in your life. Many of you men, your work depends upon weather. Its impact. You need to consider it. You need to observe it. And stop saying this. I'm going to show you what I mean by this. Quit being so prideful and presumptuous as if you are in control of what actually happens in 24 hours. James said that you need to learn to say, instead of saying, this is what I'm going to do, it's okay to plan. But when you plan, say, the Lord willing. The Lord willing. Proverbs says, we know not what a day may bring forth. I can't tell you how many times my day's been interrupted by weather. You know, people downtown Houston, when it rains, they act like they've never seen it before. And you'll be delayed in traffic. You know what Jeremiah said? It's not in man to direct his steps. You think you're in charge. Solomon said that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Is it okay for me to devise my way, for me to plan my day? I don't think you ought to wake up in a new world every day. I think you need to plan your day. I think you need to pray over that day. But everything that you pray about and plan to do is subject to the goodness of God and the wrath of God. Everything. David said that a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. You think that you're in control? Only a proud man really thinks that. Jonah thought so when God spoke to his heart and revealed to him what God's will was for him to do that day, and he decided he was not going to do it. Just like some of you, you come in here, you hear the Bible, God says, here's what I want you to do. But you may do it passively, but you say, I'm not doing that. But you know what God did for Jonah? You know, God knows, God is not in every weather system as far as it being something significant that is rearranging everything in your life that day as if that's the day. But when God wants to, He'll step in and say, you know what, Jonah, you think you can get away from me? I'm the weatherman. I'm the weather God, not four. He turned the storm up and the wind began to blow when he got on that ship. And these guys who were lost and heathens knew that there were greater powers than them. And so they began to do their very best to get their little idols out and superstitiously pray that something good would come of this. When I was in South Louisiana, often some of those shrimpers, they would purchase a certain saint from the Catholic Church to put on their boats in order to protect them from the storms. Catholic Church will sell you anything that you want for something that you want. Those men were told, Jonah confessed that the God he serves is a God who controls the weather. And he said, this storm has come upon you because of me. Wow. I thought about one of the worst storms we ever had came through here was Harvey. Cataclysmic. Epic. Life changing. So let me ask you a question. Was it because of you? Did you bring that on? The Bible says that Jonah understood that. That when God wanted to, God could direct his plans and wreck them. Not only could God control the water, they cast him into the ocean, but the ocean became still, and then God sent a great fish and swallowed him. And inside that dark place, it took him 3 days to get right with God. That's how stubborn that he was. And then that fish obeyed God and spit him out. And then he was angry because some people got right with God. God allowed a gourd to grow over him to provide him shade. God told that gourd, grow, gave him shade. Then God sent a worm into that gourd. Then God sent an east wind to beat down upon his head. Then God turned the heat up on his head. All to try to get his attention and to show him that God is ultimately in control of some things in his life. Listen to what Nahum said. He said, God is jealous. God loves you. God, if you're a born-again child of God, you have been bought with a price. You're therefore to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. God is jealous over you. He calls the church the bride of Christ. He likens you being worldly as unto committing adultery against him. And he's jealous over that. This is what Nahum said. He said, God is jealous. He said, but the Lord is slow to anger, great in power. But then he said, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea, makes it dry, dries up the rivers, mountains quake at him. The hills melt, the earth is burned at his presence, the world and all that dwell therein. Has God used weather to alter the destiny of nations? Has God used weather to alter even battles that determine the destiny of nations? Why don't you ask Pharaoh when you read the history of Egypt? How about Sodom and Gomorrah? There was a city outside Naples, Italy, called Pompeii in 79 AD. This was a town very much like Sodom and Gomorrah, luxurious, rich and famous, had about at least 10 to 20,000 people in it, and in just a few hours, they perished under 20 feet of volcanic ash. As you read through history, when it comes to some of these things, talking about weather, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, let's turn to the book of Matthew. I want to show you a passage of Scripture there in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Did you know that 400 years ago, over 400 years ago, there was a guy by the name of King Philip II of Spain? Did you know his goal was to rule the whole world? And in ruling the whole world, what he wanted to do was subject everyone to the Catholic Church. He was part of the Inquisition. And he decided that he was going to conquer the world and subject the world to Roman Catholicism. That was his goal. He had the most powerful navy at that time on the face of the earth, called the Spanish Armada. In 1588, he sailed north because there was a rebellion from the Netherlands, and he was going to quell it and show the world his power. Sent 130 warships, 30,000 men. They were considered to be invincible, unstoppable, the Spanish Armada. They arrogantly took a long way away from home. And then something happened that they could not control. Terrible storms hit the fleet. There were no ports near, so they fled through the English Channel around the coast of Scotland. I've had the privilege to go to Scotland. I have observed the coast of Scotland. And I'm telling you, you don't want to get your boat or your ship near the coast of Scotland. History says that a storm, fierce storms, pushed this mighty armada into the rocky shoreline of Scotland. And it is believed that history was altered. The statement was said that God blew and they were scattered. In June 1940, when Nazi Germany was pressing hard and winning victory after victory in Dunkirk, France. They made a movie about this. You can watch this. And you know, when you watch a movie that's historical, it's always got stuff added to it. That's not true. In Dunkirk, France, the Allied troops were trapped in the northern shoreline of France. 10 miles away was the approaching Nazi army. Slaughter was inevitable. And for some reason, a thick fog settled over the coastline. Not unusual. But this time, this thick fog settled over the beaches of the English Channel, became calm as glass, and it stayed that way for 9 days. That was unusual. So, civilian vessels joined the military ships and boats, and over 300,000 soldiers were evacuated off of that because of that weather phenomenon. And Winston Churchill said it was the miracle of deliverance. Have you ever been in some situations where weather has altered your plans? I'm just asking you. Have you ever planned a picnic and it didn't work out? Have you ever looked at, by the way, if you want to make a good living only telling half the truth, be a meteorologist. All you got to do is be 50% right. And people will listen to you every day. When I go fishing, I am watching my weather app on a regular basis. I'm looking for the radar, not the forecast. I don't know, I don't want to know what they think is going to happen. I want to see what is happening. These storms, they alter people's lives. They control your life. Your work is impacted each day by the weather. Especially if you're in construction. Or if you travel. Have you ever made plans to travel? And they were ruined because of the weather? Have you ever tried to have family fun? When I go saltwater fishing, I have to check every part of the weather. Have to check the tides, have to check the wind, have to check the barometric pressure, have to check the moon phase, and then I still don't catch anything. I'm going to talk to David when I get there about Psalm 8, about having dominion over those things in the sea. Physically, my wife's body lets me know that a front's coming through. Her joints begin to really hurt whenever the barometric pressure begins to change. The weather impacts her health. It impacts so much of our lives. It's unbelievable. And that in that God sends us His goodness and shows us His severity. A lot of His preachers and prophets were weathermen. They believed that God had handlebars on storms, that He could direct them at His whim. Elijah could pray and God shut up the heavens. Elijah could pray and rain would fall. Have you ever thought that maybe when we go through a drought that somebody's praying? They went for 3.5 years without rain and it was all because of a preacher. And then when the rain came, it was because of a preacher and his mighty God. That's amazing, isn't it not? Is it not? Concerning those things. Now think about another preacher, not just Elijah, but I think about Elisha. Now, Elisha was a disciple of Elijah. And when the king sent to know some things, he sent 50 troops with him, with his messenger. And the Bible says that Elisha prayed and boom! Lightning came down and burnt that 50 soldiers to a crisp. Do you realize how merciful God is when a storm comes up that you don't get struck by lightning? 24,000 people die a year because of lightning strikes. Over 240,000 are injured. Now that's a small number considering the fact National Weather Service says that lightning strikes the earth 3 billion times a year. Lightning, one lightning bolt has over 15 million volts to it. That would fry you, wouldn't it? Heat surrounding the air around a lightning bolt goes up immediately to 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 times the sun. Now, there's one thing that scares me when I'm fishing. It's when a thunderstorm comes up close by immediately and it begins to lighten. One time I was in South Louisiana in a metal boat by myself, fishing, minding my own business out in the basin. Louisiana is famous for their pop-up showers. One came up and it was lightning right and left and popping here and popping there, and the rain was coming down torrentially. And so the only thing I knew to do was just lay down in the boat. And I knew I was at the mercy of God. And I mean it. I said, Lord, if you'd let me get out of this, I won't get back into this. Do you understand the power of God? Joseph was a weatherman. He said, we're fixing to have 7 years of great weather and crops. And he said, after those 7 years, I'm telling you, he said, we're fixing to go through a really serious time. Not going to be any rain, not going to be any crops for 7 years. He had read the Farmer's Almanac. Not really. God spoke to his heart. You know what God said to Israel? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'll impact the weather. He said, I will heal your land. I will see to it that you'll get the rain in its seasons and the crops will grow and you'll be blessed. You know what brings us to a halt? That's when we have severe weather and nobody can do anything except depend upon each other. But then even then you see, people are either going to be predators and looters, or they're going to be a friend and a help to their neighbor. You're going to see the nature of man. It is God controlling these things. I remember Cindy and I praying that God would help us to be a witness to our neighbor to our east. We just couldn't seem to make the connection in trying to get them into church. And I remember a few years ago, if you remember in February, that we had a severe freeze. I mean, pipes were breaking in every direction. It brought you to a halt. I mean, it brought everything to a screeching halt in Houston. Next door, my neighbor called and said, hey, man, he said, my copper pipes have split and water is going everywhere in our living room. And the sheetrock was falling down and water was going everywhere. And he couldn't figure out how to turn his water off. He tried everything he knew. And so I went out to the road and turned his water off. Brother Doug, it came over and fixed their pipes, but it gave me and Cindy the opportunity to go over there. And the weather did. Gave me an opportunity to go over there and to be able to minister to them. And they came after that for several services to hear the word of God. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. But God gave us the opportunity through weather to be able to do this. Now, I need to wrap this up. I need you to see something. I want you to look with me, please, concerning the weather and the planet and what it truly says to us in the word of the Lord. You'll notice that the Bible tells us here in Matthew chapter number, let's see, I think I told you to turn to chapter number 16, did I not? Okay. No wonder it didn't look familiar because I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 16. Notice something in chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring him that he should show him a sign from heaven. Show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. So what is the Lord telling them there? He is showing them that God bears witness to some things to give them an idea that God is sending a warning of what's coming. You know, we have that saying here. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. That's where this comes from. Why? Because in the goodness of God, before he sends his judgment, he always sends warnings. Did you know before the major thunderstorm reaches your house that God is sending a rumbling sound across the way to tell you that trouble's coming? Before the lightning bolts reach where you are and before they can do their damage, God gives you time to button down the hatches and for you to get inside and for you to get your animals in safe place and for you to be prepared for what's coming. That's the way God is. That's the goodness of God. You can put yourself in harm's way and then blame God for it later. Please hear me out here. Let's take, for example, the situation again that happened in Kerrville. Now, God used that to reach some people's lives. But don't blame God for people being in harm's way. When I say that, when you have a creek bed, that means there's a creek at some point that's coming down through here. And then when you plant yourself there, you know the possibility, if a storm comes, of what might happen. You just don't believe the probability that it's going to happen. And even then, before it does happen, God is going to send thunder and lightning and rain to let you know just a little bit that, hey, something's coming. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Because Jesus said this. He said in verse 3, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? That's an interesting statement. Look with me, please, in Luke chapter number 12, if you would, please, in verse number 54. Luke chapter 12, verse number 54. Give me just a few more minutes of your time. Verse number 54. The Bible says in Luke 12 and verse 54, he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. What is God doing? He is showing you through weather of what's coming. Weather is predictable, while it is also unpredictable. Verse 56, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that you do not discern this time? Talking about here he is, the Son of God. He is right there. And some of you are going to walk out that door and you're going to live this week like you do every other week. And yet God is sending you information around you all the time, and you've gotten so used to it, so blind to it, you don't recognize His hand in nature and in the stars, in the skies, in the sun, in the weather, and the animals that God has put around you to help you to discern some things. Now, here's what I mean by that, is that the Lord Jesus Christ made this comment. He said that before He comes back, He said there's going to be some very extreme weather conditions. Not global warming. A global warning. In Matthew 24, He said there'd be global conflicts would increase. Nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And He said famines would begin to take place. Famines take place because of weather patterns. Pestilences. Earthquakes. Tsunamis. You say tsunamis are a terrible thing. But listen to this about the goodness of God before a tsunami hits. If you're near the coast and an earthquake takes place, God sends a warning. Number two, if the water's going out, God is saying, you go that way. It's God's warning. That's all that is. Get to high ground. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. That's what He said. How is God connected to all this nature, and how He does us, and how He does even the Son of God? The Bible says at His birth, there was a celestial witness in the heavens. There was a star that the wise men could find, and they followed that star, and it happened to stop right over the place where the birth of the Son of God took place. In His life, on the Sea of Galilee, when the storm came up, the Lord Jesus Christ said, all right, be still and be quiet. And the storm laid down at His feet. The Lord Jesus Christ could walk upon that water. The one that really amazes me is when Earth's and nature's creator hung between heaven and earth for the propitiation of man's sin. When the Creator died for the creature, the Son said, we cannot shine upon this. And it went out. Can you imagine? It's noon right now. I know what you know that means. Can you imagine walking out that door in a few minutes? It's pitch black dark. And it stays that way for 3 hours. Now, back in that day, they didn't have pocket flashlights. Okay, so for 3 hours, here is a man hanging between heaven and earth. And the sun bears witness to this by going out. The stars won't shine. The moon won't shine. And it's dark. That means everything came to a screeching halt. Everybody is still and wondering what is going on. There may have been a few lights lit here and there, but probably not many because you weren't prepared for that. And then in the middle of all of that silence, you're going to hear the Creator and His Son communicating, and the Son says, it is finished. And then what happened? The Bible says the earth shook and the rocks rent. Do you understand that nature itself bears witness to its Creator? And Jesus said, this is about my death and my resurrection, and my purpose of being here is to save you. And He said, can you not discern the fact that I'm here? Who has done what I have done? Who can convince me of sin? Yet they killed Him. But He rose again for our justification. And then before He left, He said, pay attention. So now when you watch the weather over the next few years, they're going to say, this is the worst. They're going to say, we've never seen it like this. They're going to say, wow, look what, quote, the capitalists are doing to the earth by driving those SUVs and global warming. It is man's way of denying the fact that God said, listen, this earth is running down. The moon and the sun are running down in time. They're not evolving. They're running down. This earth is getting, it is cursed and it is angry. And you're going to see worse weather than you have ever seen, and it's coming. And it won't be because you're driving an SUV. The earthquakes, the tsunamis, the hurricanes. He said, like the budding of a fig tree, like the thunder before a storm. There are going to be some things occur that you've never seen before because of the coming of Christ. Now, if you're here this morning, understand. If you're here this morning and lost this morning, God is good about sending you warnings. If you're here this morning and you're out of the will of God, metaphorically, God likes to use the word storms. God will bring a storm into your life to get you where you need to be. But the Christian life shouldn't always be in a storm. There ought to be some good days. But the next time that you hear thunder, would you remember this message and think that God is sending me a warning that trouble's coming? Am I right with God? The next time you see a red sky, think about God sending you a message. The next time that you hear about a flood striking somewhere, think about how quickly and uncertain your life truly is, that you do not control everything that's going on. that you've got plans, but God's plans are a whole lot bigger than yours. And God can cancel everything that you've got planned. And what it just simply means is that as a child of God, I really do want to yield myself to the Father, knowing that whatever comes my way, that He will help me get through that. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for my sins, was raised from the dead now, sits at the right hand of the Father to aid me and to help me through this sin-cursed world. Where when the severity of God does show up, because every day is not a Friday in my life. Well, when I grew up, Friday was payday. Every day is not a Friday or a Saturday or Sunday. Sometimes I have a month of Mondays. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning the wrath of God still being revealed and poured upon this earth, this is a culture of death. It's everywhere we go. Some of us will not be here next year when we meet on this day. Many of you are fighting death now with what is eating up in your body. Something's going to happen somewhere, somehow. Things will happen because it's always after us. But there is a God in heaven who tasted death for every man. And He said, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Pull the sting out of that. But also, He says He's my succorer. That means that when I'm hurting down here because of all the things that happen, that He will come to me and comfort me and encourage me and strengthen me while I live underneath this umbrella of both the goodness of God and the severity of God that comes our way. That He said, I will help you as my child, as my son, as my servant. I am called the God of all comfort. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will help you through these storms. So when the next hurricane gets ready to come, and it will. Remember, there was a time when there were nobody telling you it was coming. But God will sometimes even send signs by animals to let you know something's coming. God's good like that. I want to be ready. I see the signs of Him coming. I want to be ready. I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. I want to have the right foundation. Jesus said this, and used weather. He used floods as an illustration. He said, the man, that's a foolish man. That's the man that's sitting right here on one of these chairs who hears the Bible, who wouldn't argue with the Bible, but he's not going to do anything with it. He's the foolish man that builds his foundation on sand. And then there are men in here and women in here who hear the Word of God. They not only hear it, they embrace it. They said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to obey the Lord. And they build their house upon a solid foundation, a rock. Now the flood's coming on both of them. But one of them was able to stand and the other one was not. And the judgment of God, when it comes, I want to be able to stand in Christ, in the Word of God, in the grace of God. I pray this morning the Lord will help you that you might find your place. Let's stand together, please. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Has God sent you some warnings? Has the Lord tried to get your attention? Is He trying to get you in His will? And if you are experiencing some calm water and some good weather, rejoice and thank Him for it. Acknowledge it. And understand that the rough places that come in our lives, it comes upon us all. And may you look to him to help you. Father in heaven, we ask in Jesus' name, if there be one without Christ, they would come. And if there be one this morning, that God, that you are trying to reach and to help like Jonah, God, I pray that you'd help them today to draw nigh to you in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed. Would you obey the Holy Ghost today, please?